welcome. This time we're chatting with a true game changer, someone who's become a legend in internet marketing circles. These days, he's known as a digital marketer, an author, a speaker, a software developer, an online marketing educator, and marketing consultant. It's a real honor for me to welcome to the show, Mike Vilsaime.
Probably the best intro I've ever gotten. What a true professional. So happy to be here, excited to give out some great content.
You're too kind. Well, you've become one of the biggest names in internet marketing. There's no arguing with that. Was that always an ambition for you, Mike?
Wow. I think I have to be, you know, completely transparent here. I've never been asked that question. When you meet me, I'm probably the guy that when people finally meet me, especially in person, they'll say, "What a nice guy! What a what an easygoing guy! Very very unselfish." You know, what different types of things. And I only say that because, you know, I've heard that. I'm kind of laid back, but boy, deep inside there is a driver of me that wants to be number one at everything I do. I'll just give you a couple of examples. You know, I was the type of guy that, you know, when we would play foosball in my office, I'm gonna try to say this as PG as I can. I would win 9 out of 10 games. You know, I used to sing the Cranberries song when I would start doing a comeback on somebody. I'd start singing, "I'm in your head, I'm in your head," and I'd score another goal. And I would relish, you know, kind of the way Michael Jordan did, you know, in winning a game. And when I'd lose, I'd put this big smile and go, "You got me," high five and everything. I would go into my office and grab a pillow and scream, you know, the F word right into it, make sure nobody heard it. But yeah, so there's a competitive nature to me. I think part of it comes from wanting to fit in and wanting to prove. It's something I don't talk about much. Maybe I've spoken about it once or twice to a couple of different people. It's just something that me and my brother have recently come to realize. And I don't think I've ever spoken about it publicly, but, you know, my dad and my mom were born in Haiti. So you give me a Dominican, you know, anybody that's Dominican, especially I'm from New York and it's, you know, "Hey, Dominican, you talk about an Italian, they, you know, Italian pride, you know, kiss me, I'm Irish." People have this pride of their culture, you know, to be Russian, to be whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Puerto Rican, Jamaican man, all these different things, right? And then to be Haitian, I'm sure was the same thing. Not when I grew up. I grew up born 1967, so I'm in high school in 9th and 10th grade, and this virus comes out called the AIDS virus, right? And you can imagine, right? You know, you didn't have the 24-hour news cycle, the internet, and everything like that, and it came on a little bit slower than the coronavirus, but. You know, this thing, you know, if you're old enough to remember, it scared the hell out of people. And when people didn't know, especially when people didn't know, if you can get it by touching someone, by looking at someone, you know, we didn't know that it was through, you know, bodily fluids and intercourse and blood and things like that. So my dad was a very well respected person in the automotive industry. And he went for an interview one day. There's a Mercedes-Benz dealership, and they're loving him. They're absolutely loving him. And all of a sudden, they bring the staff in, and all the staff is like, "Lionel, your accent, where are you from? Is that French or Canadian?" He's like, "No, actually, I'm from Haiti, and it's a French accent that you're hearing." And he's, "Oh, wow, that's beautiful." And all of a sudden, one lady goes, "Haiti, isn't that where AIDS comes from?" And everybody's like, everybody's face just went pale. And then my father, they said, "Lionel, are you from Haiti?" And so my dad lied and said, "Oh, no, my parents were from Haiti." And they were like, oh, good, we got a little scared there. So my dad came home and told me and my brother, quote, "Don't right now with the AIDS virus," and this was years before Magic Johnson, "do not tell people that you're from Haiti." And then, believe it or not, my friends had known, and I started hearing things from my friends like, their parents, weren't allowed to play with me anymore and stuff like that. And, I would be like, hey, what's going on? And kids will be kids. It's because your family has AIDS. And I'd be like, what? I'm talking 10th grade, wow. not 7 years old. Right. Mm-hmm. So I had to hide about who I was. And my brother, we recently had a talk about that. I said, when did you start telling people you're Haitian? He says, maybe 3 years ago. We had this thing that we would say we were, French Canadian or Martinique or something like that. And when you would ask me, it was like this thing that you knew you were a fraud. Talk about imposter syndrome. Somebody would ask you, because if you look at me, I could pass for a Dominican, a Puerto Rican, a Mexican, an Iranian, a Persian, an Iraqi, Middle Eastern, Hawaiian, or a Filipino. You put me in that environment. If I walk into a bodega in Hempstead, New York, they're going to start talking to me in Spanish. And if I'm in Dubai, I'm going to look, I have this very, very worldly ethnic look. It's probably people, they look at me and they say, Mike, you have a very interesting look. Do you mind if I ask where you're from? And then I say, what do you think? And then they're saying, I don't know, either Filipino, Arab. It's really tough to tell. And I say Haitian, and they're like, oh my God, never would have guessed. And so I had that question my whole life. And as soon as I started seeing that question, I would start sweating. And I'd want to get off of it very, very quick, because I didn't know if they knew something different, or there'd be another friend around that would go, that's not true. You're Haitian, right? So, oh my goodness, I can't even tell you how tough this was for me. So, so I think that created something inside of me that wanted to fit in, like on a deep level. Like when I could talk to you about the things that I was competitive at. I wrestled in high school, and I wrestled my brother, my friends, all time. It was the most important thing in the world to me. And I wasn't the best wrestler in practice, but I worked really hard. And there was always this guy, Mike Del Pilar. He was the varsity guy, and I was the junior varsity guy. And he had more experience than me. He was varsity the previous year. But I knew I'd practiced a certain move, and I knew he was a better wrestler than me. But we used to have these things called wrestle-offs, because the best man wrestles on Friday night. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Or Saturday, whenever we'd wrestle. So they were very fair that way. It was none of this, participation trophy stuff, right? Back then, you earned your spot on the varsity team. So I would go on the wrestle-off. I'd walk up there very shy. I would play very, very coy. And then as soon as we would go in, I would blast, and I beat this kid every single week. And he'd beat me up in practice. And the coach, I remember the coach's face would go, all right, Phil Zimeth, because I wasn't Phil Same back then. That's an internet marketing thing. That's for another story. But they say, all right, Phil Zimeth, varsity, Del Pilar, junior varsity. And he'd throw his sneakers at the wall and take off his headband. And I had the same mentality going into the wrestling match. So I was, I wrestled my high school year. I went 18-0-1. And when I was 18-0, I had never been pinned. And I could tell you that the very last match that I had, I went on to this guy. His name was Craig Redding. And he went to the States. And my very, very last match, this kid taps, the handshake thing. We start going. About 2.5 seconds in, I was blinded by him doing a fireman's carry. His arm and bicep went, he tucked in, and his arm and bicep right into my crotch, pretty much nearly knocked me out. I saw stars, and I heard, and I got up and I said to my coach, it's the most embarrassing thing ever. I said, what happened? He goes, you got fucking pinned. That's what happened. And it was my last match of my wrestling career. I never played in college or anything like that. And like that, telling that story today, like completely, completely haunts me that I was 18-0. And I being on a wrestling team, I don't know if you did any high school or college sports or something. To me, I wasn't in the military, but I can only say it had this camaraderie of there was some brotherhood that was going on there. And, to walk off in quote-unquote disgrace, those things live with me. I remember bowling a perfect game almost nearly, and I missed a strike by one pin.
Hi, fellow entrepreneurs. Adam here on behalf of Coach Dave. We hope you are enjoying this interview and are picking up some good tips for your business ventures. This short break is to advise you of the terrific sale prices that are ongoing now within the Smarter Business Network for monthly memberships, tools, resources, and bundles of products. This is your chance to get top quality support at rock bottom prices. Do head over to the Academy site at smarterbizacademy.com and have a look. If you are watching or listening to this on the Academy site, have a look at the shop page to see what is on offer. Look, our network platform is designed to help you enter the fast track to success. Using the many resources, tools, training, and support through mentoring and coaching, you gain new ways to plan, start, and grow your business quickly. Take advantage of the Smarter Business Network to develop multiple streams of income. Take action and change your life. Okay? Let's get back to the interview. See you inside.
In the 10th frame, and like how I cried for days about that. My dad was trying to tell me, you know, he'd call me Keek, please get over it. You have to get over it. I couldn't get him out of my room. So yes, there's this competitive thing inside of me, and I don't necessarily think consciously I said I want to be on the Mount Rushmore of internet marketers, but I get motivated by seeing other people's marketing. I say that's some magic that they're doing right there. How can I apply that to the outcomes that I want to achieve? I don't want to emulate somebody. I already have a goal in mind. I have an end game, and I see the means given to me by somebody else. What the heck are they doing with that video? They just made a cinematic movie. That's never been done before. Can that work for this? And then I'll try to apply it. So in that sense, I want to be the best that I can be. There's a book by Jim Collins called Good to Great. And the first six words of that book, it could be five, we'll count them, but I think it's six, is good is the enemy of great. So that's six words. That's how the book starts. Good is the enemy of great. I remember looking at that, and it took me about 2 minutes to turn the page. I said, what the hell does that mean? Mm-hmm. Good is the enemy of great. And basically what it means is in some sense, you know, your higher power, God, the universe, you know, put us out here with a potential. And isn't it a beautiful thing to strive towards potential in everything we do, in our faith, our relationships, our health, our fitness, our finances, our relationships with our kids, people, everything. We have an opportunity. There is something great in us. In that stone lies, you know, the Michelangelo sculpture, right? And so for us to be good at anything is really a disservice to what our true potential is. And that's what I took from it. And I found that to be profound. I said, you might have a few questions. I can't help myself but go deep into even the simplest of questions. So that's a long answer to a short question.
Oh, don't worry. I love it. I love the fact as well that you've harnessed your competitive streak and you are using it in a really positive way. I think that's quite refreshing to hear because, you know, I think a lot of people look at those of us who are competitive and it's almost seen as a bad thing, whereas actually if you are competitive and you want to get out there and you want to change the world, everybody uses Steve Jobs as the example of someone who, you know, perhaps he knew what he wanted and was able to push forward. And I think that it's great that there's a poster child and that people look up to people like Steve Jobs. But in terms of, you know, your own career, Mike, and you know, the way you've been able to motivate yourself, who's inspired you, would you say?
Poof, that's one and only. one and only my dad. There is my dad and there's nobody else. I can write a book and there'll be different people in there that I will give credit to. And there are people in internet marketing, certainly, that have paved the way for me. You know, that are invaluable, but my character, my dad, he's a legend of a man. He's a hero to me and everybody in my family. He was raised right, maybe a little too tough from his military dad. I will say this, some of the things the way that I was raised and my brother was raised, not my sister, but my brother, the way we were raised, quite frankly, would probably have put my father in jail in today's world. Right. And I have no issue with it. You know, my father came from the spare the rod, spoil the child school. He never hit me with his hand. He would use the belt, and it was never out of rage. It was never uncontrolled. He would come home in this great mood, and my mother would be saying, "Wait till your father comes home. Wait till your father comes home." I mean, why? Because my mother said 9 times, "Don't do something." And I went out in the back and painted the house or something ridiculous, right? When she told me not to. Leave that there. You're going to spill the paint on my brand new deck, you know, and she's not looking. And what do? I spill the paint. So my father would come home and he wouldn't be more upset that I spilled the paint. It's that, you know, did your mother tell you not to do that? And did you disobey her? It was one of those types of things with my dad. And he'd come home in this great mood and I'd go in and hug his leg. And he'd be, "Hey, Kiki, how are you?" And then, "Do you know what your son did today?" And my dad would be, "Is that true?" He'd say, go in your room. I'm going to meet you there in 15 minutes. He'd have his dinner or whatever. He'd come in. And he'd say, "Do you know what you did? Blah, blah, blah." He'd say, "Okay." And he, you know, I'd put my hands behind. He'd say, "Move your hands." I'd get the belt. You know, my brother would get it too or whatever. And we'd be crying like anything. And then, you know, but it really was the type of thing that I'd be looking over at my brother and I'd be smiling. And then my dad would go, "He's laughing." And my dad would go, "Is this funny to you?" And I'd get another one. It was just a discipline thing. And, you know, just another example, my dad had this weird thing that he would do. When we'd get in trouble, it was on your knees. That was the thing. We'd have to go into the corner of the room on our knees. We weren't allowed to slouch. We'd have to put our hands, you know, like I Dream of Jeannie style, and, you know, cross fold them over our chest. And we'd have to be on our knees for 30 minutes. And you know what would happen when I'd get off? I would go to my dad and I'd say, "Dad, I'm sorry." And he would say, "Come here, sit next to your dad, watch TV together." I love the guy. Everything I did was, I had to be disciplined a certain way. Now, I'm not advocating for the belt or anything like that. I don't have kids and I don't know what the right thing to do, but I don't have any issues with the way that I was raised. And so my dad taught me a couple of things. I wasn't one of those kids. I remember when I would say something, my friend would say something like, "I want to get that bike." And I would say something like, "Oh, cool. When are you going to get it? Are you going to talk to your parents?" And it would be like August. And they would say something like, "Yeah, my dad's going to get it to me for Christmas." And that to me was the weirdest thing. I was like, "Well, that's weird." You know, and just in my head, it's probably the right way, right? In my head, it was like, "Why are you getting something for Christmas? That's a long time from now if your parents can afford it." And so my dad's attitude was more of a reward system. If I wanted the bike, my dad created a contract. I had to mow the lawn 6 times, never be late. And he literally had me sign these things. It was on the refrigerator. And I'd call him from work and he'd be like, "Keek, did you mow the lawn?" And I'd probably lie and say, "Yes, I'm going to come home. And if it's not cut, you're not getting the bike." And, so I'd go mow the lawn. And I had, so for me, everything was a reward-based system with grades and allowance. Everything was tied into this performance. And he would call me top shelf. Even today he calls me top shelf when we talk. And you know, his belief was, you're not better than anybody, and nobody's better than you, but you can do anything you put your mind to. And that came from him coming back from the car dealerships, that coming into the house at 11 o'clock at night, and I'd be sleeping, and he'd come in and he'd go, "Keek." I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" "Come on, come keep your dad company. Come into the kitchen." And I went, "How'd your day go?" I'm like, "Dad, I'm tired." And I'd be sitting there like falling asleep. And he'd be there with his crackers and his camembert cheese. And he would be giving me lessons like, "Keek, let me tell you something about the way the Italians negotiate. Don't ever ask them to sign anything. until you shake their hands. These people are people of pride, and they will tell you things like, I've given you my word, and my word is more important than anything on a pen. And like he literally gave me life lessons about cultures and different things like that. So to me, again, a long answer to a short question, my dad is the person that formed me.
And in terms of, you know, the motivation as you were getting into your marketing career, because, I mean, you've achieved so much. There's been butterfly marketing, which we'll touch on in a few moments. There's Webinar Jam. There's the Evergreen Business System, Kartra. And, of course, now there's you know, your Groove Funnels and Groove Pages and whatever. How proud are your parents of what you've achieved?
Because that's a bifurcated question, right? And so let's start with my dad, so we can easily segue. My dad is so proud. I'll spare you the reading of the text, but literally, he sent me a text the other day talking about how proud he is of me and how he talks to people about what I do. And if you know my dad, I have to warn you and warn him. You come to my house, I say, my dad's a talker, and he will trap you in a corner and start talking to you about the French Revolution and health and all these different things. And you'll say, oh, no, Mike, I can't wait to see your dad. And then I'll see you, he'll get you. And I look over and you're sending me the signal. And then to my dad, I have to tell him, don't trap people with your, you know, this intellectual conversations. And you can see where I get it from. I can talk a lot.
Hi, fellow entrepreneurs. Adam here on behalf of Coach Dave. We hope you are enjoying this interview and are picking up some good tips for your business ventures. This short break is to advise you of the terrific sale prices that are ongoing now within the Smarter Business Network for monthly memberships, tools, resources, and bundles of products. This is your chance to get top quality support at rock bottom prices. Do head over to the Academy site at smarterbizacademy.com and have a look. If you are watching or listening to this on the Academy site, have a look at the shop page to see what is on offer. Look, our network platform is designed to help you enter the fast track to success. Using the many resources, tools, training, and support through mentoring and coaching, you gain new ways to plan, start, and grow your business quickly. Take advantage of the Smarter Business Network to develop multiple streams of income. Take action and change your life. Okay? Let's get back to the interview. See you inside.
And he'll say, Keek, I've been around for a long time. I can read bodily cues. I know when people don't. No, he can't. He'll talk your ear off. So yes, he's very proud of me. My mom, on the other hand, gave me a completely different upbringing, completely different outlook on life. I would win, talk about being competitive. I won the Presidential Physical Fitness Award. All 6 years, it meant the world to me. I was the fastest kid in the school. I had the fastest time in the 600 yard dash. You know, just being the fastest, all these things just meant stuff to me. So when I had the Presidential Physical Fitness Award, I came home and I left it right on the kitchen counter. I came back after playing, you know, softball or kickball or whatever out on the street with my friends, and I came back and it was gone. And I said to my mom, Mom, Where's my Presidential Physical Fitness Award? This is just typical. I don't remember how it would be, but I can give you a typical scenario. It would have been, I don't know what you're talking about. Mom, you're the only one here. I left it right here. There was certificates here. I don't know. It's not there. If it was that important to you, you wouldn't have left it there. What are you kidding? And so I'm searching all over, and guess where I find it? And this is like a patch, not just a piece of paper. It's a certificate signed by Jimmy Carter. You know, probably, you know, or automated, right? But to me, I didn't know that then. And a certificate. And I've had for 5 years prior, this is my sixth, and I'm going to get it sewn on. And it's now in the garbage with spaghetti sauce on it.
No.
Yes. Yeah. And that was my mom. She would go clean my room And I had the Thurman Munson card from the New York Yankees, which was worth a lot, unwrapped, right? You know, he had died from the Yankees, and everybody's saying, you need to save these things. Gone. Just thrown out. And, you know, you shouldn't leave them on under your bed. You know, all those different things. So, and just like one more thing, you know, you lose a dog, you lose a cat, or her mother would die. Not much to shed a tear. My mom was a very, very strong person, and her answer to somebody was, to everything was, you know, ours is not to question why, ours is to do or die. She would say things like, you live and learn, tomorrow's another day, all roads lead to Rome, if we were lost. My mother, you couldn't rattle the woman, literally nothing. And so the things that were important to me, she would just tell me, you know, Mike, stop complaining about things that can be replaced. This, you're not talking about health. You're not talking about this. And so she was a very matter of fact person. And I think.
Hi, fellow entrepreneurs. Adam here on behalf of Coach Dave. We hope you are enjoying this interview and are picking up some good tips for your business ventures. This short break is to advise you of the terrific sale prices that are ongoing now within the Smarter Business Network for monthly memberships, tools, resources, and bundles of products. This is your chance to get top quality support at rock bottom prices. Do head over to the Academy site at smarterbizacademy.com and have a look. If you are watching or listening to this on the Academy site, have a look at the shop page to see what is on offer. Look, our network platform is designed to help you enter the fast track to success. Using the many resources, tools, training, and support through mentoring and coaching, you gain new ways to plan, start, and grow your business quickly. Take advantage of the Smarter Business Network to develop multiple streams of income. Take action and change your life. Okay? Let's get back to the interview. See you inside.
Perhaps, you know, from there, is she proud of me? I'm sure she is. But I have a thing that I do with my mom, because she never ever said I love you up until just recently. So I would just say to, you know, Michelle, watch this. You know, I'd be putting it on mute and going, watch this. We're getting off the phone. All right, Mom. And she'd be like, okay, Michael, it's been great talking to you. Make sure to call your mother often. I haven't heard from you in 3 months. You should just call me for my birthday. Yeah, you're right, Mom. All right. Have a good day. I love you. Okay, bye-bye. And I'd say to Michelle, see that? She can't say it. So about a year ago, I did one of those things, and she said, love you too. And I like literally almost like broke down in tears, because I was with Michelle, and I was like, I got all, you know, choked up. And I said, wow, she actually said, I love you. Now she's saying it more. But that's the type of, to tell you the difference of personalities between my mom and my dad. My dad wanted to be conversational, and my mother was, you know, here's your food. Hardworking, go to work, do shopping. You know, she was there to raise the kids, and you know, leave her alone. Let her go. Watch her things and TV. She liked to read books, and I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. My mom was the best mom anybody could ever ask for. She was just different than my dad. Very matter of fact. It didn't matter if you won or lost. You know, that type of stuff. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, that in a way they've both influenced you. You know, encouraged you in different ways to become the person and the successful person that you are in terms of everything that you've achieved in your life. I mean, in terms of going right back to when you discovered your interest in marketing, what was the first thing that you thought, actually, this is the direction I want to go in? And, you know, I'm sure that you had the usual background of being encouraged to be a doctor or an accountant or one of these traditional jobs, if you like, but you chose a different way forward. Why was that?
Excuse me. So let's talk about what my parents expected from me. I was not raised in that family where there was certainly never like, you're going to be the president of the United States, right? And there was never anything like, you need to go to college, you need to become a lawyer, and you need to become a doctor. I don't think they ever spoke those words. Although my dad is really proud of his uncles that are doctors. Like that's the thing in their family. Many of his sisters and his sisters' husbands are either doctors or teachers. Like education was the fact that you had an education and a degree was more important than anything to my dad. More important than anything.
Having said that,
my dad's dream was to have me and my brother own a car dealership with him. That my dad was an entrepreneur, and he instilled in me, being an entrepreneur. And you know, he was the type of person that said, you know, you need to do every job in the dealership, Mike. You should do the porter for a day. You should clean cars. You should do this. And he would say, he'd had this expression, it's not his, but he would say, you need to inspect what you expect. You need to have an understanding of everything down to its core level if you're ever going to manage it or understand where the numbers come from. So there was a lot of entrepreneurship. You know, and he's talking to a 15-year-old when he's saying this stuff. Mm-hmm. He likes to hear himself talk. And I wonder where I got it from, right? So he literally liked to pontificate and intellectualize these different things. And so it got in me. So where did the entrepreneurial spirit come from? It's either in my DNA or my dad groomed me. Because I was an entrepreneur in high school. I started my love. So we have to go even before computer science or computer programming. I was a terrible student when it came to reading comprehension. I was the most interested kid in college in philosophy and psychology, but I would get a C because the way tests are done, they're done to play with your head. They're there to fool you. They're there. My mind isn't made for when you give me four different things in a paragraph yesterday, and the paragraph spoke about, zero gravity. It spoke about G-force. It spoke about time dilation, all these different things. So I heard all four of them, and now you ask me a question that's multiple choice that has all of those answers in there. I had a great concept of those things. But if you're gonna, ask me about, an occurrence over Owl Creek Bridge, and I friggin' love the story, but you're asking me what was the daughter's name, and then you gave me four names, and I put the wife's name. Yeah, I failed in those things. But where I excelled tremendously was in math. I was the smartest kid in my class when it came to math. And what I found to be extremely tedious and boring was homework. I didn't have a discipline for it. When I understood something.
Hi, fellow entrepreneurs. Adam here on behalf of Coach Dave. We hope you are enjoying this interview and are picking up some good tips for your business ventures. This short break is to advise you of the terrific sale prices that are ongoing now within the Smarter Business Network for monthly memberships, tools, resources, and bundles of products. This is your chance to get top quality support at rock bottom prices. Do head over to the Academy site at smarterbizacademy.com and have a look. If you are watching or listening to this on the Academy site, have a look at the shop page to see what is on offer. Look, our network platform is designed to help you enter the fast track to success. Using the many resources, tools, training, and support through mentoring and coaching, you gain new ways to plan, start, and grow your business quickly. Take advantage of the Smarter Business Network to develop multiple streams of income. Take action and change your life. Okay? Let's get back to the interview. See you inside.
I knew it. in my core, and I did not like to do something 400 times, you know, 7 times 3, 3 times 21, and all like that stuff killed me. And even as a good math student, I wouldn't do as good as I should because I'd never turned in homework. I was just one of those kids. I'm just being honest with you. What does it matter at 53 years old that I tell you these things? So when it came to math, man, did I fly through. In school, they probably had it in the UK too. You know, I think we had something called basic, intermediary, something that started with a P, and then advanced. So I was in the second phase, you know, the average phase for everything. And then when it came to math, they put me in the advanced classes. I got 100 on the trig, algebra, geometry, and pre-calculus regents exams, the state exams. I got 100 on all four of those things. Wow. So what is coming up right in this time from a guy that's in graduates in 1985, starts his senior year in 1984, so 83, 82, 81, 1981, I'm in ninth grade. 1982, my friend Mike Petruccio across the street, he doesn't have an Atari 2600 or an Intellivision. He has this keyboard thing that, what the hell is that? It's a Commodore VIC 20, and he's writing a computer program, for next loop with poke this and volume plus one, and he made the computer go. He hits run, and it goes, and I'm like, oh my god, he literally just programmed that, and I can understand what he did. I immediately, gravitated towards that, then the Commodore 64, the Commodore 128, the IBM XT. I became a self-taught programmer, and very difficult back then. You could barely even find books on these things. they weren't even teaching it in school. So by the time they're teaching it in school, who in the world is going to teach you computer programming in your senior year? It's a new industry. It's literally just popped up.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So what do? They send Mr. Weston, who's the math teacher, over to Stony Brook University to take a crash course in computer programming. And he puts his heart and soul into it. And he's coming in and he's teaching this thing. So 2 weeks into class, probably in the last week of September, he says, I'm giving you an extra credit exam. And this extra credit exam is due before the Christmas holiday. And here it is. I want you to put in Roman numerals and output the decimal answer. I gotta tell you, this is not easy. And because here's why. What does an I represent in Roman numerals?
That is a one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, but it's also a minus one.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because if the number is IX, that number is 9, not 11.
Of course.
But if it's XI, it's 11. So when I have something like VII, that's 8. But VIIX does not mean 2. It's not 8 minus, or that I doesn't is not 1. It's not 7, but, with the IX meaning 9. Like, so it was a very complex thing to know when do you figure out when you add a number or subtract it? When is that I not added to the previous numbers? But it's subtracted from the number coming to it. Extremely complex, in my opinion, probably a great extra credit thing. So what do? I go in, I learn about this thing called a midstring, and I basically, break down every character, and then I had to, create an algorithm that says if the number is greater than the number it precedes, then it's this. Else, it's if it's less than it precedes, and all these different things, and it's not working, and I'm up till 3 a.m. and 4, and finally I crack it in. Everything that I put in is now working. Now, the way it worked back then, you couldn't save your work, because they used a mainframe in the school, and I had a Commodore. Mm-hmm. So I printed my work, and I've got 70 lines of code. I get to the school at 7 a.m. My hands are shaking, and I hear the bell ring. I'm missing homeroom because what happens is when you type it in and you hit run, it then says syntax error. Oh shit, line 30. I typed something, and if you know anything about programming, or if anybody hearing this, they're laughing right now. And then you had to do what was known as a proof. Right. So I had to now give the five different Roman numerals, and I put them in, and then it gives the output, and then I have to print the source code, and they're kicking me out of the room. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And finally, I walk into class.
Hi, fellow entrepreneurs. Adam here again on behalf of Coach Dave. That is it for this interview. We do hope you enjoyed it and picked up some good tips for your business ventures. We have 50 more such interviews that we are editing and adding to the Academy site to help you. These are just a tiny fraction of the training, tutorials, case studies, and guides you will find for your use within the Academy site. Signing up is free, and there is a private exclusive community you can also join at no cost. Lastly, don't forget the terrific sale prices that are ongoing now within the Smarter Business Network for monthly memberships, tools, resources, and bundles of products. You can gain full access to all the resources and also earn a bump in affiliate commissions as a paid member. Depending on the plan selected, it can cost as little as $6 a month. Unbelievable. Take action and change your life. Okay, Adam out. Coach Dave and I will see you on the inside.